As always, it is so good to be with you. And attending Mass is a fantastic way to be connected to a family of people who genuinely care about you. And that truly is one of the hallmarks of St. Albert the Great Parish. It is a community that cares. This morning's gospel reading picks up where we left off last week. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus sharing some of his most beloved and challenging spiritual instruction on how we are to relate to other people. For example, he raises the bar for us. He says, love those who love you and love those who hate you. Bless those who speak good of you and those who curse you. Pray for those who are kind to you and those who mistreat you. Now, of course, and Jesus even admits this, that we have no problem embracing the part where we are called to love those who love us. And that was the message in the first reading, if you really follow it carefully. In Leviticus, it says, love your neighbor as yourself, but that applied only to your Jewish brothers and sisters. But Jesus said, and he acknowledged that anyone can do that, but to love those who hate you? Well, think about it. It really goes against the grain of sensibility and also what is reasonable and what is expected of us in our culture today. But see, Jesus is raising the bar. He's raising the bar. And in last week's reading and this week's reading, in no less than 6 times, he says these words, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. Now, we've heard these passages so many times that we just sort of gloss over what he's saying. But in reality, if you were hearing this for the first time, we couldn't even begin to fathom how blown away the people listening would have been, because Jesus is establishing his teaching authority on par with God. That's pretty substantial, isn't it? And the words that he shared were so radical. They were challenging. You could feel the challenge in them, but they were inspiring as well. I mean, as you sort of rumble those words over your mind, don't they inspire you? Don't they challenge you to be a better person? Jesus, let me ask you, although you could have called down thousands of angels when you carried your cross along the Via Dolorosa to the place called the Skull, did you let the Roman soldiers have your tunic and your cloak as well? Because you said, if anyone wants your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Jesus, when the Sanhedrin guard hit you in the face as Caiaphas was interrogating you, did you not offer resistance? Because you said, when someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. And Jesus, when you were being mocked and spit upon while hanging on the cross, did you really mean it when you looked down upon those who hated you and said, Father, forgive them? Some pretty radical words, aren't they? Well, what do you think, church? Do you think Jesus did this? Do you think he really meant it? Well, absolutely he did, and he modeled that lifestyle not only in these examples, but many, many other examples in the gospel. So the question as a disciple of Jesus is, how do we ourselves go about unraveling this teaching in order that we can show greater love to those who do not love us in return? Now, I'll be honest with you. I squirm every time that I hear this priceless instruction. I really do. Yet, I'm convinced, at least in my mind, it's not all gotten down here into my heart and my actions, but that laying myself aside as the Master asks us to, especially when I feel justified, it is good medicine. It is good medicine if I want to be the person that God has created me to be. So let me share with you 2 thoughts to consider as we strive to do the will of the Father and, as Jesus said, be perfect just as our Heavenly Father is perfect. The first thing is to remember that all of us are in need of God's mercy. Every one of us. This is a point that is repeated over and over again in the scriptures, the entirety of the scriptures, because it is so true, it is so valuable in helping us to love those who are less than loving towards us. To be honest with you, it immediately reminds me of the story of the prophet Nathan and when he encountered the king David. See, Nathan was the prophet who spoke to the king David. And after Nathan meets with David and he describes to him the behavior of a certain man, it says that David seethes with anger. And he says, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. And then Nathan looks at him straight in the eye and he says, David, you are the man. You're the man. You're the one who has done this. Maybe that's why David penned the words that we find in the 103rd Psalm today. Merciful and gracious is the Lord to you, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he respond to us according to our crimes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. That's powerful. Let me offer you real quick a sure-fired way to determine how in touch you are with recognizing that you have a need for God's mercy as well. Actually, Jesus provides us with this little litmus test just a little further along in the Sermon on the Mount. It's very simple. Here it is. To what extent do you judge other people? To what extent do you take revenge or hold a grudge because you think you're better than somebody else? Simple test, isn't it? Easy to answer. The second thing is that Jesus asks us to live as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Now, the teachings of Jesus, some are easy and some of them are hard. These are hard teachings. Because why? Because they call us to lay aside, to put aside our self-centeredness in order to see, but this is the wonderful part, that we have been created to be citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And that this notion of the heavenly kingdom is the theme that runs, the common thread that runs throughout the entire Gospel of Matthew, as we're going to see as the year progresses. So here's a couple of pointers from the saints if you want to learn how to live as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Remember this, citizen, that it's much easier to love than it is to hate. As you grow in your walk with God, what others think about you becomes less of a priority. Now, why is that the case? It is the case because your confidence becomes rooted in God and nothing else. And it is this awakening of the soul over time that causes you to realize this, that you would never return to the old way of life, of judging and being unmerciful to those. So you remember this. It doesn't feel like it, but it's the truth. It's definitely harder to hate than it is to love. Definitely harder. And I think James the Apostle was spot on when he said this in his letter. One's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Powerful words. Another pointer from the saints is to remember that those who are your enemies may also become your friends, but in unexpected ways. Now, the gossiping and judgment of others upon you is not right. But it can be used, like Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans, for the good of the soul. Because what it does, it causes us, as we feel that tension and that rejection, it causes us to cast ourselves more fully into the arms of a loving God. All of the saints write about this very important point. And it is this. In one sense, you could say that since our enemies draw us closer to God, we cast ourselves more fully on Him, our enemies in that sense are our friends, because that's a good place to be. And then finally, remember that it's impossible to plunge into the deeper depths of Jesus' teaching without giving proper attention to the interior life of your soul. God has equipped us with everything. That's the message of the gospel. He's given us everything that we need. His word, the Holy Spirit, his community, everything we need in order to draw closer into him and to become more like a heavenly citizen in the heavenly kingdom. But what we have to do is we have to die to ourselves. We have to be willing to lay our will aside in order to be guided by the Holy Spirit that lives within you and teaches you and shows you how to love God and to love your neighbor. Powerful, powerful words. And they're all available. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. First of all, these words today of Jesus, they are not a pious recommendation, or neither are they mere speculation, but they are a concrete reality. They are concrete reality. And so, as a dweller of the heavenly kingdom, I say to you this morning, set your aim high. Aim high. Why? Because you can. And the second thing is this. If you truly desire to plunge deeper into the treasures of your faith, do it. Like the saying goes with the shoes. Just do it. Just do it. Pursue God with all your heart, and you will find infinitely more than you were looking for. Always, that's the way it is with God. Discover the immense richness of who you were made to be in God. God bless all of you. And I ask you to please remain seated for just a moment. My dear friends, our candidates and catechumens have already traveled a long road. We rejoice with them today in the gentle guidance of God who has brought them to this day. So let us pray that they may press onward until they come to share fully in our way of life.
For our catechumens and candidates, that they may undertake with generous hearts and souls whatever God may ask of them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may find in our community compelling signs of unity and generous love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That their hearts and ours may become more responsive to the needs of others. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the church, that we may not only profess to follow Jesus, but live according